It's bold prediction season, everybody. Let's get excited. Good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday, March 19th, and welcome to episode 239 of Buds and Blue Jays. It's your place for all things related to the Toronto Blue Jays. Jesse Burrell here, joined as always by Jesse Tricio, who is back from a little two-week hiatus. Went down to the water park, I heard, got some time, taking March break with the family. Jesse, I'm sure that was a great time, but one, it is great to have you back on our show.
Glad to be back. A little 15-day IL stint, but wasn't because of the injury. It was more family time. We had a great time. Went to the Poconos Mountains up in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Having 20-degree weather while being in the mountains, who would have thought in March, but definitely enjoyed it, especially when I was at Great Wolf Lodge in the water park there. You got to be a kid at heart again.
That's the thing. It's not not the real IL trip. It's a little fake IL trip. So you can come back in the best shape of your life, just like a lot of the Toronto Blue Jays here, to get ready for the upcoming season. We are excited. I know I'm excited, Jesse, and I'm sure you're excited. And let me say, the bold prediction episode that we are doing here today has got to be my absolute favorite episode that we ever do. It's so fun. We get to dream on players. We get to say things that we wouldn't normally say. We get to be a little crazy. We get to be a little bit outrageous. And that is what I love most about this episode. So I'm very excited for what we have in store for everybody here today.
Oh, definitely. I love being spicy like the wings I like to eat. Like, just have that sizzle coming down.
Yeah, Jesse, we love chicken wings on this show too. You know, we're big guys. We like to eat, and we're on our show here. We're going to have mild. We'll have different types of takes, I suppose. We'll have like our little mild, like the wings you can eat a ton of. Then we'll get like, you know, the quite spicy where you can still eat them, but you know, you start to feel it. And then we're going to have like some of the suicide takes, the like you like lick this sauce and it's burning and that's how spicy it's going to be. Historically, I will say, Jesse, in the 3 years since we've done this show, we've gotten one bold prediction right every single year. So that is really hard to do. And a little self-loathing, I'm sure, for self-promotion, because we have been able to get one right. And I'm confident that one of the bold predictions that either you or I give out here today is going to come true.
Oh, hopefully it's more than just one. I think there's a couple that I got that will pucker some people's attention, and then somebody would be like, oh, I can see that, and agreeing that it could happen.
All right. Well, without further ado, Jesse, let's just get into one. Did you want to take the first one, or should I take the first one here?
I'll do one, and I'll have two that I'll go right off the bat with, but the other one will go after you. So my first one is I'll give it a mild flavor. Mm-hmm. It's the Blue Jays win the World Series in six games over the Atlanta Braves.
Okay. Yeah.
And the World Series MVP is Andreas Giménez.
Oh, nice. Okay. I like the Andrés Giménez more than World Series MVP one. This is such a bold prediction to make because, one, a lot of projection systems have the Blue Jays probably finishing last in our division. We haven't won a single freaking playoff game since 2016. Yet, you know what? Spring training bleeds optimism. And you know what? We're going to go all the way to the top, baby. Flags fly forever. I love the optimism that you've got here.
Get the parade route ready. We'll be rolling with everyone else.
It's awfully nice that you actually give the Atlanta Braves two wins in this series. Like, it's awfully nice of you. I thought, you know, you just say, yeah, dominant run. We're going to go all the way.
Yeah, well, I thought it'd be nice to Andrew from Torture Sons.
If you're listening, Andrew, that's a shout out for you. Congrats on the Braves. Jesse, that's wild. If that one comes true, boy, we're going to have a real fun summer for the Toronto Blue Jays here. I don't think my takes are going to be nearly at that level. Maybe more modest, give or take here or there, but with some truth of happening. And I guess the World Series one is not impossible. All you got to do is get into the dance and you have a chance, right?
Exactly. Look at the year when the Braves won it. They had less wins than the Jays and we didn't even make it.
Yeah. And I remember the Cardinals in like 2005 won with like 85 wins. So all you need is a chip and a chair, right? And you have a chance.
Exactly. It's like the March Madness of basketball tournament. Just go on that run.
Yeah, speaking of which, I got to fill up my bracket today, but we will do that later as we get into that. I will give one of my bold predictions just to lead off the show here. And where do I want to go? I'm going to go with this one here. I'm going to say, Jesse, that this is the year the Toronto Blue Jays finally break that curse and we actually get a no-hitter. And I'm not even going to say it's a combined no-hitter. I'm going to go out and say one of our starting pitchers is going to get on the horse and is going to do it. Bowden Francis got so close twice last year. Kevin Gausman had the complete game shutout. Jose Berríos in his time here has gotten close. Alek Manoah in his time has gotten close every now and again. I really do think, look, I look at the Houston Astros who have had a billion no-hitters. They get a new one like every month, it seems. And the Blue Jays have had one in our franchise history. No, that changes this season. This will be the year it finally happens.
Oh, it's a matter of time. It's been, what, 34 or 35 years now since Dave Steen did it. So it's about damn time.
Jesus, yeah. And to get even bolder, I guess, should I try to predict the person who's going to get it? Probably. That'd be fun, eh?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go, who's got good hits? I'm going to go Jose Berríos just because he's durable and he can have those really efficient innings. It's going to be the type of no-hitter where it's like first pitch pop-up, you know, a hard ground ball that just gets caught by Ernie Clement. And with the defense that the Blue Jays are putting together here, who knows? Maybe they just put on a show and single-handedly get Jose Berríos that no-hitter. So that is my first bold prediction here.
Well, I'll go on to that. I'll say Max Scherzer.
That would be wild if he can hold up. But he's got that bulldog mentality in it, right? Like, you know,
exactly.
That if he gets rolling and John Schneider even tries to come out of that game, Max Scherzer is going to say, hell no, you sit your ass back down in that dugout. Not going to happen. I like that call.
He'll look at him with that one evil eye. He has a good and an evil eye. He'll look at with him with that evil eye.
That's right. It's like the angel on one shoulder, the devil on the other, but Max Scherzer does it with his eyes. It's going to be ruthless. You already know at some point this season, John Schneider's going to try to pull up Max Scherzer. He's not going to have it, and it's going to get wild. And between him and Chris Bassitt on the mound, John Schneider's going to have his hands full dealing with those pitching staff. Jesse, did you want to get into your second one? You said you kind of had two that went hand in hand here. Before we get into the news,
well, it goes into the news we'll talk about. But the Blue Jays will extend Bo and Vladdy by opening day.
Both of them by opening day. Oh man, it's wild that you brought that up because I do have something I want to talk a little bit about Vlad and his contract demands going forward here. But the fact that they're going to get both of them seems crazy. Like, we've heard nothing on the Bo Bichette front, at least for extensions. And it really feels like they're going to have a change of heart or something's going to happen. Or maybe they just love what Bo Bichette has done this spring and get it done. But I was going to get into it a little bit, but we can get into it now. It's just, I do think that the window is not closed between Vlad and the front office coming to an extension. And if you're going to sign Vlad, you might as well just keep the gang together, right? So I like that one. I think that's a better chance than us going all the way to the World Series.
Oh, definitely. I can see it, especially like with what Bo's doing. He already has more home runs in the spring than he did all of last year in 81 games. Yes, he was hurt, but like how what Bo has been doing, even thinking that how him and Jimenez are looking together up the middle and like what that could bring in the next few years, well, it's just going to be like poetry in motion and like, you can probably get Bo on a bit of a discount right now, maybe around like the Willie Adames deal, which isn't cheap, but like
that was 7 years, 131, wasn't it? 7/131.
Something like that. And like, instead of if he goes off and you're paying him like Corey Seager or Marcus Semien,
right?
Like this isn't a chance you can get him for a pretty much a bang for your buck, or even like a little shorter term deal until like Arjun Demala or someone Josh Kasevich are ready to come up.
Yeah, I like the call. I think there is a, like, if you sign one, you kind of almost got to look at the other one. But it's weird. It's always just felt that Bo Bichette was going to be a free agent. Bo Bichette was going to leave. But I think I would love it if they both stick around long term. I know you would love it. And I bet you Blue Jays fans as a whole would love it if that were happen. I want to talk, I guess we'll get to this now, a little bit about the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. thing. Because what we know is that he set the date, right, to the first full spring training workout as the last day to sign a contract extension, right? And then that didn't happen. They didn't make a deal. But now we're hearing whispers through the internet of what the offers were and that Vladdy's saying, if the Jays just meet my $500 million, I will sign it. I still think, like, you don't do that unless you're still thinking about the contract, still thinking about negotiations. Remember, there are 3 days between the end of spring training and the end of opening day next Thursday where if talks are going to resurface, it's going to happen there. Here's the problem, though, Jesse. Like, if you're the Blue Jays, you can't just give Vlad that $500 million because then you're telling other agents, other executives across the league that when you say this is my last and final best offer, you don't mean that. And so that's bad. That might hurt future negotiations going there. And if you're Vlad and you just go to accept, like, why would you accept the $450 million that the Blue Jays offered you when you've been adamant this whole time? And when you're this close to free agency, you might as well just see what the market is. The only way I can see them coming together on a deal is if they just decide to split the difference, do 475, and then they just call it there. But yeah, that's the only way I can see this coming together.
No, exactly. Like, I was just listening to Athletics, and they were saying, like, similar thing, where if they just say, oh, here's your $5 million, other agents, even if it's for, like, say, Tyler Heineman or, like, someone not as big, but, yeah, well, we can just put pressure and they'll cave because they have no backbone. But, like,
yeah,
if both of them can agree, like, in a happy medium, even, like, $495, where it's, like, $5 million below his 500 mark, like, give it us that happy medium, is you still are negotiating and working together and showing that you are our number one, like, option and face of the franchise.
Yeah, I still think the chances of an extension at this point now are very low for both of them, but it's not zero. And I do like that. The fact that there are still whispers being had, still kind of things going in there, there is a chance this gets done. And obviously, if it does, we're going to talk about it on our show come next week. So looking forward to that. All right. Before we get into the rest of our bold predictions, let's give the guys in our audience a chance, the guys and gals, a chance to come up with some of their own bold predictions. We will read them here. We've got a few of them circulating around that we will get to, the fans' bold prediction. So if you are watching live, leave one. We will hit the comment. We will get to it as well. But we got to touch on a little bit of news and notes from spring training, particularly on how it might affect this team on opening day, which is rapidly approaching. It's next Thursday, 8 days away. So we are getting very close to opening day. And the first one, Jesse, is that Max Scherzer appears to be dealing with a thumb issue. He says it only really starts to feel it around the 50-ish pitch mark or so. It's the same thing he dealt with a little bit last year. He was scratched from the start. He did get into a minor league game. John Schneider did say he's feeling a little bit better, but I wasn't super encouraged by that. How do you feel about this Max Scherzer thumb injury and how it affects the team going forward?
Definitely with what he said to Durant, like, explaining, like, how it actually really affects your thumb, how it affects your shoulder and issues which caused him to have those issues last year. At least he has a knowledge of, like, not to just ignore it and actually right. deal with it. It sucks. It was the risk we all had knew about, like, his health and all that, being 40-plus years old, veteran pitcher, a lot of miles on the arm. When we signed him to that one-year deal, and that was our fixture that, like, we barely have him. But at least it's happening. I'm just more about it's happening now, like, early in the season where it's not affecting, say, we're in that pennant race or wild card push. Like, if he has to do it, like, Williston now, fine with it. I'd rather have him healthy in the later part of the season when the games matter more.
Right. So absolutely, I agree with you. The problem is, like, if this was an issue last year and it's already coming up in spring, like, I'm no neuro doctor. I don't know how to fix nerve issues, but this doesn't seem something you can just slap a bag of ice on it or whatever and it'll heal, you know, or like something with a muscle where you can put it. Like, I don't know how you fix a nerve issue. This might just be the case then with Max Scherzer. Maybe he's just a one-time through the lineup guy. If he can get you through those 50 pitches, maybe you just do that and then, you know, you're piggybacking him and Yariel or him and Yarbrough every single start they make. I don't know. I'm about a 4 out of 10, I think, on the concern level, particularly because the rest of the Blue Jays starting depth behind him leaves a lot to be desired. So we kind of need Max Scherzer in a way if this team is ever going to put a run going forward. So we'll see. He might make the first start in the rotation. He might have to spend the minimum time on the IL, but we're going to get a good look at Max Scherzer early this season.
No, exactly. And it is a concern, especially with the pitching depth we have right now. And yes, there could be moves made but in the next few days because of waiver claims and that where it could help our depth. But it's definitely not something like I want to hear. And like you, I'm probably about 4 to 4.5 out of 10 in the concern meter.
Yeah, so we're about on the same page there, which is good. If Max Scherzer cannot make the opening turn in the rotation, who gets the start in his spot?
I'm probably will have to be like a piggyback with Yariel and Yarbrough like we did later part of the season, which I really don't want to have to do like a bullpen day. So like in the game
part of the season, early in the season, right? Yeah.
It's like, especially when we have like, I believe it's like 21 games in like 24 days or something ridiculous like that.
Again, and especially against, might I add.
Exactly. No, exactly. And that's a lot, like, really did not want to hear, had to think about that right now, but I can see that, or maybe it'd be a Jake Bloss, like, possibly getting, like, in the rotation, especially with how good he looked in that spring breakout game with him and Trey Savage and all that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to give Jake Bloss the run yet. I think they kind of want to put him down there, see him go on a run of dominance before they bring him up. But look, Jesse, if you're running bullpen days within the first week of the season, something went wrong. And like, the Blue Jays kind of struggled with their pitching depth. They're relying a lot on their aging veteran rotation staying healthy. And the fact that we don't have a much starting pitching depth might be the reason this team doesn't make it where we want them to go towards the end of the season. So it is worth paying attention to here. And also that too, if you look at the Blue Jays opponents the month of April, every single team we play finished 500 or better last year. The only one that didn't were the Washington Nationals. And they're a team on the rise, full of young players that could take a step forward. So it's going to be a lot for the Blue Jays. As we said earlier, like, there, it might not be a team in baseball that needs to get off to a hot start more than our Toronto Blue Jays this season.
No, exactly. Like, if we aren't, like, I'll say, let's say 15 and like at least 5 to 10 games above 500 after this month, it could be a really long season for us as Jays fans and as a team.
Yeah, I think if the Jays are 500 just with the quality of opponents they have, but they look like they're 500, but they look good being 500, like the bullpen looks good, starting rotation looks good, they're getting good offensive pieces from the guys who want good offensive pieces from, then I think we're okay. But yeah, it'd be a long way to go. On top of that note, while we're on the topic of Yariel, are you concerned at all about his spring performance? And then let's add Bowden Francis to this as well, who also has not looked good this spring. Velocity's down, the location isn't there, giving up a lot of home runs. Do you have any concern about the poor performance from the two of them this spring?
Yariel, I'm more concerned than Bowden, because Bowden is probably, like, Jesse, not only how he finished last year and the type of pitcher and mentality he has, I'm not concerned about him. Like, I feel like he has the dog in him, like Bassett and Leishman, who
yes.
in an interview that he was doing, he said been spending a lot of time with the two of them. So it kind of, and even Max Scherzer has said too, like, Bowden Francis reminds him of him at that age. So I'm going to take that as no grain of salt, and then Yariel, I still think he's better for a back end of the rotation with the stuff he has.
Yeah. With Bowden Francis specifically, this is the first spring training he's ever been to where he knows he's got a job in the rotation. He's locked in. So this gives him the freedom to work on things, to try new things. He doesn't have to worry about pitching his ass off to make a spot on this team. Like, he knows his spot is secure. Would I like to see some better results? Absolutely. But I'm going to take it for what it's worth and, you know, not be surprised if he goes out against the Orioles and actually puts together a good start. You know, we'll see how the hit suppression stuff goes. With Yariel, my biggest concern is, like, the stuff is good. There are a lot of people who say the stuff is good. There are metrics that prove the stuff is good. But if you can't throw strikes, that's a problem. And the only way Yariel Rodriguez is going to take a step forward is if he throws strikes. And not just strikes, they got to be quality strikes. He can't be laying 2-0 pitches down the middle of the plate, because he'll give up a bunch of home runs. I think he's actually given up the most home runs out of every Blue Jay pitcher this spring. So work for that as well. And yeah, it might be a struggle for the back end of our rotation if those trends continue.
No, definitely will be.
All right. And then one more piece of notes here before we get on to the rest of our bold predictions that we're going to go on through here. Jesse, it's been 2 weeks since we've last had you here. So I want to know if your thoughts on, like, the bench, the guys who are going to be the last few guys on the bullpen or the of the lineup have changed at all. And this can include if Dalton Varshow is your center fielder or a DH, or if he's starting the season on the IL. And let's run through this a bit, right? Like, the locks on this team. You're going to have Kirk, Vlad, Jimenez, Bo. We'll put Ernie Clement at third because he's going to be on the team no matter what. And then Santander and Springer. And then your backup catcher. So if my math is correct, that leaves us four spots, and we probably need two outfielders, an infielder, and a backup catcher. Right? So who out of our mix of players is getting those spots for you?
Well, for backup catcher, it's going to be Tyler Hyman. I'm not really no surprise there. But for the bench, this is where, again, I was listening to the Atalaya and they were mentioning this, and it really intrigued me and like made me think about it. When it comes to if, say, Bo goes down with another injury, knock on wood he doesn't, do we just slide Ernie Clement there and then you have that power bat who of Addison Barger who can play third and the corner outfield where you have that versatility, or do you go defense and not as much like offense with the bat with Leo Jimenez? In my opinion, I think it'd be Addison Barger's job to lose for that backup bench for like third and the corner outfield where you can just slide Ernie Clement to short, who we saw do an admirable job there. Yep. Then I would add, because we have that cluster of infielders in that, then I would think Varsho would be IL, personally. That's my opinion, even though he's raking.
That's what John Schneider said as well. Recently,
so I would say put Miles Straw there. Have Miles Straw on the reason being, just because I prefer him. Like he has speed, he has a base running. He's a way better center field defensively than Wilbur Fino and Lucas and all that. So I'll take Miles Straw there. I would add Will Wagner, just because
he'll be there. He'll be on the team no matter what.
Yeah, because there's another lefty and all that. So that's four if you count Heinemann. So, yeah, like I'm trying to think. Is it a four-man bench? That's where I'm trying to think.
Yeah, let's assume four-man bench, because the Blue Jays are probably going to want to carry the extra pitcher early in the season. I'd assume it.
No, exactly. Yeah, I assume too. If not, then you'd add the David Schneider, because right now Aroldis Martinez was just hit by that pitch, so I don't know if he'll be ready for that. So
yeah, and he was sick early this spring too, so note that. Yeah. And I think David Schneider has played well enough; he's earned at least a spot on the bench as here on this team. So he needed to have a good spring. David Schneider had a good spring. I think he's earned at least one more go. We'll see if he struggles in the season. Your point on the backup catcher, Jesse, I agree. It's Tyler Heinemann here, but I also think the Blue Jays might be really watching to see who gets cut at the end of camp here and maybe try to find somebody off that waiver wire. Cause like, look, God forbid, if anything happens to Kirk, we cannot have Tyler. I don't even want Tyler Heinemann starting 30 games this year, you know,
no.
Much less as he has to get into 50 or 60. I think the guy has like one home run in his whole big league career. And I don't remember the last extra base hit that Tyler Heinemann had. And I know that's not the role for the backup catcher. I get it, but I'd like to see them search the waiver wire at the end of camp. So wait for a move there. In terms of the position, I've been saying that Leo Jimenez is probably going to be on this team all offseason simply because the shortstop defense, the middle infield defense is great. And yes, technically, if something were to happen to Andrés Jimenez, if something were to happen to Bo Bichette, you know, yeah, Ernie can play shortstop, second base, and you don't mind him having regular at-bats. But the only way that really works then is if, like, Addison Barger takes over the everyday third base spot, or if the Blue Jays are quite confident that Vlad can handle third base, or if Will Wagner or Aroldis Martinez is on this team. And if not, I really do think the Blue Jays want to have Leo Jimenez here on this bench, just because you know what you're getting, the good defense and the bat, you know, still has upside, I suppose, even if you don't think getting hit by pitches is a skill. So I think he's on this team as well.
Yeah, I can see like the likelihood of Jimenez there, but it's just, I'm thinking with a team that struggled with the offense as bad as we did last season, having that pop of Addison Barger, who has over 1,000 OPS this spring.
Yeah, a lot of
And like some of the longest home runs this year, like in spring, I definitely could see him being that like pop off the bench too, and like as we saw last year with the walk off homer.
Yeah, I think I want that too. But the way I'm talking about this kind of means that Alan Rodon is probably left off this roster, which might not be a popular take around Toronto Blue Jays people, because Rodon has been awesome all spring. And you've been talking about Alan Rodon for quite a while now here. But like, I just don't think the Jays are ready to give up on like a Joey Loperfido yet. They gave him a big run. I am a Nathan Lucas guy, and you know, we'll see what that happens here. But it probably means like Stuart Baroa, Jonathan Class A don't have a chance of making this team. And you know, the outfield depth of the Blue Jays is actually pretty good. We have guys here, so, and you kind of want to see all of them get a little bit of a run.
No, exactly. And like, even if, say, Springer is not being like typical Springer and there, or like if, let's say, Santander there goes down for like with a rolled ankle where he can't play the field,
yep,
I feel like we are able to withstand them not being in the field with the depth, surprisingly, we have with our outfielders, with like the Lopofito, Class A, Baroa, Roden, who, again, reason why I didn't put him on the list is he's not on the 40 man, so there'd be have to be more moves to make. So, and neither is Straw. That's where the why, like, we would have to make a move to have Straw
right
on the 40 man.
Could,
but
they could make moves. They could put, like, I think if you call up Adam Macko, you can put him on the 60 man IL. There are a lot of guys on the back end of this roster you could DFA. Nick Robertson has survived on this 40-man all offseason somehow. Yeah. Like, there are Stuart Baroa is a non-tender candidate pretty easily here. Like, there are moves you can
Josh, make these guys. Josh Walker and all that.
Yes. And it's interesting. The Blue Jays did actually make some minor league, minor deals here. We brought back Dylan Tate, which we talked last episode, but I want to get your thoughts on that, Jesse. And we also signed some lefty as well, which I don't have the name here. Forgive me. I'll go find it when we're done here. But, it makes me believe that the Blue Jays aren't necessarily sold on everything they've done with the bullpen. The fact they're bringing guys like Dylan Tate, the fact they're bringing in this other guy, and the fact that they're making moves on the back end of this roster here. It makes me feel like the Blue Jays aren't necessarily done on the bullpen pieces.
No, definitely. Again, like I was saying, in the spring, you'll see those waiver claims or like minor transactions to get players. Like, I remember a few years ago when we traded, I think it was Reese McGuire or something for Zach Collins at like,
yeah,
like exactly, like just little trades like that where it doesn't like turn heads, but it can just fill that hole until we need that legitimate piece to like for us to contend, or if there's minor injuries going into the opening day.
Yeah, Justin Brewhill was the guy we just signed to a minor league deal. And we also added Dick Lovelady to the 40-man roster, which seems likely then that he will be a competent part of this team who hasn't looked the best this spring, but he went to driveline. That velocity can touch up there. I like what we're seeing from Richard Lovelady, even though the numbers haven't been there.
Like I said, it's Dick Lovelady. It'll be a fan favorite just by the name.
That's right. Even the ladies love some Richard Lovelady, and that is fantastic. All right, Jesse. Enough of that. We're caught up on all the news that has happened in Blue Jays land. Let's just dive in the second half of the episode here for the rest of our bold predictions. And I think how we're going to lay this out is you will give one, I will give one, then we'll take one from the fans here, and then we'll kind of go in that until we're out of time here and spit some bold predictions. So without further ado, my guy, just get after it. What's your next bold prediction? And go as spicy as you'd like here.
Okay. Santander and Vladdy. Santander hits 48 home runs. Vladdy hits 55.
Wow. So 48. Wow. That would really be a room for the power surge here. Hey, Santander just hit 48 last year. And I know most
44. Projection
system. 44, was it? Not.
Yeah.
It was 48. I don't know. It was in his 40s. And most projection systems say he's not going to get there again. But I don't know. He's got a good swing. He hits the ball hard. And you know, he's not hitting with the wall in Baltimore. Like, Rogers Center should be a better place for him to hit. I guess he's got good home run to fly ball luck, and you can see a path. Vladdy hitting 55, though, Jesse. Like, holy shit. That would be
contact here.
And you're kind of going the Aaron Judge path, right? That what Aaron Judge did with that. And hey, look, no one hits the ball as hard in baseball as Vladimir Guerrero Jr. does. If he can elevate that launch angle, there is a chance. But man, 55 would be insane.
If he wants to be the face of the franchise and the greatest Jay of all time, he needs to pass Jose's record.
That is true, and Jose is 54. What's the record for two teammates for home runs in a season? Would it be Vlad and Semien in 2021? But Semien had 40-something and Vlad was in the late 30s?
I think so, or if not, it would be Bautista Edwins.
Yeah, or Donaldson had 40 and Bautista had 41 that one year, I think. So either way, it's in the 80s. I think a better prediction is this, that you could say Santander and Vlad will set the record for most home runs by the same teammates in franchise history. And I think that would be a pretty good take. But 93 between the two of them? Jesus, that's insane. Or no, 103 between the two of them. I can't even math. That's how much this is blowing my mind right now, buddy. Wow.
You told me spicy.
That's spicy. And that would be one hell of a summer if that comes to pass. Vlad's going to have to hit like three home runs opening day to get that starting. But hey,
Zach Eflin.
Yeah, we can tee off on Zach Eflin, so I'm not too worried. All right, Jesse. Did
Biggio
like
hit a home run off him?
Biggio hit a home run on opening day last year, so there is that.
Off Eflin, so.
So my next bold prediction is going to kind of counteract your last bold prediction, because mine can't come true if yours comes true. But spicy take here. The Blue Jays leader in home runs this season, Addison Barger, is my call. And, you know, he's got the exit velocity. He's got the swing. He's up there. I think he's tied maybe one behind Varsho for home runs this spring, one behind Bo. But if he gets the playing time, we know the power is there. I can see a path that he can get into like the mid-30s of home runs. Is it likely? Not a chance in hell. But I want it on record that there is a guy in the system that could have a big home run spike, and that is Addison Barger.
Well, that's music to my ear, being, a, as I call us, the Barger boys, and I've been on the Barger train since he was in the minors, so I love that one.
Yeah, just in all seriousness, kind of on a take there, out of these players, out of Addison Barger, Orelvis Martinez, I'm trying to think who had similar power. We'll put Dalton Varsho in there and George Springer. Rank those four by how you think they're going to finish in home run totals this year.
I guess, yeah, if, again, like you said, if he gets the run, I can see Barger, then like Barger, Martinez, Varsho, and then Springer in the bottom, because I feel like Father Time's catching up to Springer.
You know what George Springer actually needs to do, Jesse, is he just needs to bite the bullet and just shave his head. Like, he's mid-30s, Jesse. Like, you have more hair on your face than he has on his head. And it's like, we've seen what Vlad has done after getting his hair cut. Bo Bichette's had a monster spring after cutting his hair. It's like, George, buddy, just milk the last bit of baseball you got out with you.
And even Barger in spring.
And even Barger, too. Like, just shave it off, my guy, and get the last ounce of baseball you have in you. I think that would be fantastic. I'm going to read a bold prediction from one of our fans here, Jesse. This comes from Dave over on Twitter. And he basically says that Alejandro Kirk is going to win both a Gold Glove and a Silver Slugger this year. So doing it on the offensive side and the defensive side probably puts Alejandro Kirk in the top three in all of catchers if that does come true. What do you think about that one?
Oh, well, I have one similar to that. So mine was, although is a two for Jimenez was a Platinum Glove.
Okay. Which Kirk, I can see.
Kirk, Varsho, and Vladdy win Gold Gloves.
Vladdy, eh? I think Vladdy's the weird one there, but he's already done it once in his career, right? So
exactly. And like, look at that one year where Chapman was one of the best third basemen, and Urias of the Orioles got over him.
Yeah, that seems silly. I think it's a shoo-in. Like, it's not bold anymore to say the Blue Jays will win another team Gold Glove award this year, right? Like, that's just the standard now.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so I don't think there's that. But yeah, going back to Dave's prediction here, like, I've talked about Alejandro Kirk a lot this spring. He's swinging harder. We both have been fans of what Alejandro Kirk has done at the plate. We know the glove is going to be there. Why couldn't Alejandro Kirk win a Silver Slugger behind the plate? Like, really, who is he competing with? It's probably the Contreras brothers and, I guess, Adley Rutschman. Like, I know there are guys, but yeah, Cal Raleigh is the big one. Yeah, the big dumper who, if he played every single game against the Blue Jays, he'd be a 70 home run hitter. But yeah, it's like, there is a path, you know? He has some BABIP luck, hits in the 300. He can get you into double digits and home runs, hits a bunch of doubles. There is a path here to see this happening, and I'm a fan of that.
No, definitely. Like, he can definitely has a path, and like, he's already done it before, so why not again?
Mm-hmm. Why not again? I like that. All right, Jesse. Give me another one. You've got a few more than I do here, so I want to hear what you have. Hit me with another bold prediction.
Andrés Giménez goes 20-30.
20-30. So 20 bombs, 30 stolen bases?
Yep.
So he's done, what, the 30 bags each of the last two seasons, and has he hit 20 in his career? Was it in 2021?
Nope. No, I think a career high is 16 for him. And that I was hit in a home 22. Run.
Okay. So, yeah, we can see it. This would be great. That's the number that's in question here is the home run total for Andrés Giménez. And if he does go 20-30 with the defense he can provide, he's likely an all-star. I'd say without a doubt. He's probably getting down valid MVP votes. And then that probably solves the issue of who's hitting in the top four of your order, which would be great for Andrés Giménez. For what it's worth, the Blue Jays believe in the bat. They think they know what it takes to fix his bat. And we'll see if Popkins and company can do just that.
Oh, definitely. And I definitely can say his bat has impressed me, though, during the spring, too, when, like, with the triples and doubles he's been hitting and the velos. It is possible. And he already has one home run in spring.
Yep. And I hit a home run with him in my MLB The Show game last night. So it's got to count possible. For something. Very unrelated, but the Kansas City Royals have like a billion triples this spring. I don't know what's happening. If you look at stats, they have like 13 more triples than any other team. Maybe that's just Bobby Witt Jr. I don't know, but just something I noticed when I was looking at stats the other day.
Yeah, that's definitely crazy. And I think one of their top prospects has one, and now they even sent him down to their AAA affiliates too. But that's a Kansas City Royals show. This is Blue Jays. So
yeah, that's exactly it. You know who's hitting another triple this year? Alejandro Kirk. Okay. I'm going to get on to my next bold prediction here. And this one's going to be a sour note. This is the one you've kind of already touched on, Jesse. But I think that George Springer gets DFA'd before the end of the season. I think his play is going to be so bad. He's looked so bad this spring. I think he has one extra base hits. And if I remember correctly, it was kind of just a bleeder down the line he ran into second with. Like, I think the end is near for George Springer. I think the Blue Jays are just going to eat the money, kind of like Houston did with Jose Abreu. I think it's coming. And I think before the end of the season, George Springer will not be on this team.
Oh, I can definitely see that, especially if he has, like you say, a 540 OPS. Kind of like going after the first month and all that, or like by middle of May, I really could see him maybe being just a bench bat, if not DFA'd. So I can definitely see that happening.
And like, I don't even think he has value. Like, if you've decided that George Springer is not good enough then to be an everyday outfielder, which I think is quite likely, then I don't think he has much value of being a bench bat. Like, wouldn't you rather that spot go to a Rodon, go to even Davis Schneider, like Addison Barger, like Loperfido, like guys who could be better than George Springer? It's also hard to see a 35-year-old whose swing speed has dropped, whose exit velocity numbers have all dropped, his chase rate's gone up, his walk rate's gone down, just randomly get better at his age 30. I think it's 35 now for George Springer. Like, yeah, I think the end is near for George Springer, and I don't think it's going to take that long before he's cut off this roster.
No, I don't. I really don't. If like he finds the talent of youth and is ripping them all, then definitely not. But if it's literally what we're dealing with last year, we can't deal a whole season with that.
If he finds the fountain of youth, George Springer better be comeback player of the year. like even though he wasn't hurt. Yeah, there you go. Good thought. Jesse, hit me with the next one, the next bold prediction you have.
Well, I'll go keep the sour note, somber mode. If the Jays are not what we are hoping to be, I see the Jays trading Bo and Scherzer at the deadline to the Dodgers for Dalton Rushing and Bobby Miller.
Okay. I like how you're calling your shot. You're trying to predict the exact players here. We got to be clear, though, if the Blue Jays just fall apart, or if there's no chance of signing Vlad or Bo, and if you think there's no chance at the playoffs, you do need to trade both. You got to trade everybody. Bassett, Vlad, Bo, everybody. And there have always been rumors. We'll see how the Mookie Betts experience goes in LA, but I do think the Dodgers and Bo Bichette kind of match up well with each other. And hey, look, I'm a Bobby Miller believer still. I in my dynasty league I'm in, I traded for him. I still think there's a guy in there. And Dalton Rushing could follow like the Dalton Varsho path to success in the big leagues. And I don't mind that either. And I don't know. Let's just get Nick Frasso back while we're at it too. And let's just,
why not? Especially when he's healthy.
Yeah. I do think it's likely though, that one of those guys does get moved if we are out in contention, but I also don't believe in this Blue Jays front office to do the right thing. So yeah, we'll see how that goes, but I like how you're calling your shot, Jesse. That's a name I like.
All right. We got one more trade, but I'll say that one for another.
No, we're on the topic. Give it to me. What do you got?
All right. Then the next one would be, we don't extend Vladdy. We trade him to the Giants for Bryce Eldridge and Marco Luciano.
Okay. Luciano's prospect status has kind of fallen a little bit, but it could be a change of scenery. thing.
Especially
I always
with
thought,
the Giants signing, especially with the Giants signing Adames, so that he really lost his spot. So
yeah, I've always thought that maybe it's because I don't want him to go to the Yankees or the Red Sox or anything like that. But I've always thought that if the Jays were going to trade Vlad, the Seattle Mariners kind of make a lot of sense. They need thump so bad. They have a lot of young prospects. I'm a big fan of Lazaro Montez, one of their prospects down in the system. They have others. We've kind of already taken a bunch of Seattle's prospects, but why not take a bunch more? And I think you could get a package, Emerson Hancock, maybe even get like one of their young pitchers, like a Bryce Miller, or like if they would part with a George Kirby, even like that could kind of be how you do the soft rebuild, right? You get these guys back, and that way you don't necessarily close the window of success, whatever that means. But
no, exactly. I've always I know there's two prospects in their system that I really like too. It's Harry Ford and their switch pitcher. I totally am blanking on the name, but like just having or something like that.
Something like that. There's some seasoned Jays in there, just drafted last year. But the Blue Jays, we took a stab at Pat Vendetti when he was here, right?
Exactly.
We know the Blue Jays are going to look at a guy like that and be like, yeah, that's two pitchers in one roster spot. We absolutely see value in that.
Exactly. With the khakis would love it.
Anything to please the khakis, I suppose. Sheesh. All right. Is it my turn or the next turns? Or no, let's go to one by one of the fans here. And this one comes from Colin Bad Boy on Twitter, who says nothing about the Toronto Blue Jays here, but just wants it known that the Detroit Tigers are going to be World Series champions. And hey, if it's not the Blue Jays, go Tigers, I guess. There's a lot of Canadian Detroit Tigers fans, and there are a few things there, but yeah, not what we're looking for our bold predictions here.
No, but we'll take Max Kluck from.
sure. We'll take anybody who can play and perform for us right now. All right, I'm going to go into my next one here, and that is that Alek Manoah is going to be the American League Comeback Player of the Year. And the recipe that this happens is he comes back mid-season, something clicks for him, he's already throwing on a mound, it seems like the Tommy John progress is going okay. He comes in late in the season and kind of goes on like the CC Sabathia-esque run he did with the Milwaukee Brewers, or what David Price did for the Toronto Blue Jays in 2015, where he's just dominant. And every time he's on the mound is go, 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 go. And he single-handedly carries the Blue Jays into the playoffs. That's the path I'm looking for here. And I think if that is the case, and if that all comes true, then Alek Manoah has got to be comeback player of the year.
Oh, 100%. Even like seeing like how he looks, and his, he's spending a lot of time with Scherzer and all that. And just seeing the shape he's in, like the best shape of his life, let's say. But his body configuration this season compared to any other season, like he's put in the work, and even in the interview I heard with Ballon Fantasy, he's saying the weight Manoah's been pushing this year is insane.
Yeah, he looks good, and if he can get that velocity back, he can get that rotation on the slider. It'll be very interesting. We didn't see a ton of it last year, but he did have some good starts, right? So he's learning, and there's probably nobody who has more fuel to the fire.
I'm saying that. Exactly, and I saw his final start against Tampa, where he was dominant, and like I was like, "Oh, Manoah's back in." Then we lost because of TJ.
So we will see, and I'm excited for that one. Same with Ricky Tiedemann for that reference. Like he'll probably get some big league time this year because his prospect status has kind of fallen, and at this point, you know, now he's 24, 25. Like you got to see what you got in Tiedemann. So if he's ready to go, I'd expect to see him in the big leagues at some point this season as well. Jesse, hit us with another one. What do you got?
I'm going to double down on this one. Ballon Francis, top 10 Cy Young.
Yeah, which I remember that was a prediction you gave last year. And I think Riley and I kind of laughed it off. We're like, what? Like, what is this? And the way he started this season, we're like, he got demoted at one point down to Buffalo. But then, Jesse, you saw what Ballon Francis did in the second half last season. And you could see the recipe for success. I think your bold take this year makes a lot more sense than it did last year, because all he has to do is just prove he was that guy in the second half who could reduce hits, who could get a lot of pop-ups, and if he just does that for the course of a season, then he's absolutely going to get votes, and that's all you need for this bold prediction to come true.
Zathamayo is just a year early.
And that could be a real thing, right? Maybe it's better to be a year early than a year late, I suppose. And like I've mentioned with Bowden Francis, every time we've talked about him too, his stretch he had in the second half of last year wasn't even the first time he's had that. He's had some minor league stretches. Even when he went down earlier this year, he was dominant in AAA. Last season, he had a stretch in Buffalo where he was just unhittable as well. Bowden Francis has this in his game. It's kind of like what Marco Estrada had when he was here pitching well for the Toronto Blue Jays. Like, it's in there, and he has this. And there will be a season where it just all clicks for him. And why not this one?
No, exactly. I definitely can see it, and especially now that he knows what he has to do. The sky's the limit.
I'm with you. It could be good. I do like that call as well. I've only got one more, Jesse, and you're going to like this one because this is a player I know that you really have had your eyes on in our system. But Jonathan Class A is going to be our leadoff hitter by the end of the season, and not just sprinkled in a game or two. I think he's going to be known as we get into September and October, our full-time leadoff hitter with the speed, the power, the combo. In order for this to work, he needs to be fantastic in Buffalo. He needs to get the defense going. He'll need to perform for this to work. And somebody like a Lo Perfido, even a Roden or a Barger, will probably have to underperform. George Springer is going to have to be sent to the moon at this point. But there is a route, there is a path that Jonathan Class A can be our full-time leadoff hitter at the end of the season. And that's one of my bold predictions.
Oh, I definitely can see that. And maybe they'll move Marshall back to left to like save his shoulder, and then you put Class A in center, it'll be a poetry in motion.
Yeah, I think the moving Varsho to center thing, he's just so good you can't. But even if Jonathan Class A is in left field, I think, you know, that still works, right? You can find a way and you can make it work here. But you can see the tools he has. And Jesse, I'm a sucker for tools. I've always liked these players that have great tools. And Jonathan Class A is ripe and full of them. Do you have any more here on the thing, or should we?
I just came thought of one while we're talking there.
Great.
Again, another sour note. John Schneider will be fired by the All-Star break with Ross Atkins.
Yes. So I was actually going to bring this up because out of all of our predictions that we had made, we had yet to talk about the front office, really. We had meant to talk about all that stuff. Like, I do think this season has really the potential to go two ways. It's either going to go really good or it's going to be downright awful. And then there's two dramatic paths, right? There's the path where we go, we hit the playoffs, everything is going well, we're competing. And then there's the path where we're just dog shit. And if that's the case, everybody's traded. Ross Atkins cannot. I mean, you cannot let this guy go through with a fourth manager. Like, no one even gets three managers, and the fact he's had a chance for three. So if you've decided that John Schneider needs to go, Ross has got to, like, he's got to go. You and I could probably be a better general manager at this point running this team than they can. And yeah, that's just got to happen.
Oh, no, definitely. Like, if we are by the All-Star game, I'll say the All-Star break, like 15 games out of in the East and like close to double digits in the wild card, you can't have them both.
Like, how long of a losing streak do you think the Blue Jays would have? So say we're 500 for the month of April, May turns around. How long of a losing streak do you think we have to go through before they decide just can it? Is it six games? Does it have to be double digits?
I think double digits, like maybe like mid double digits.
Oh, so like a 13, 14 game losing streak.
Yeah, like I'm thinking like if you were over 10, because again, if you do the math of like how many long series are, 10 games could be only three series. So like if you're entering like a 4 to 5 game series losing streak, you have no chance to have a job.
Right. Like, I think that number's probably honestly closer to 8 or 9. Like, if we're 500 after April and we start May and we lose our first 8 games, we're, well, 8 games below 500. And at that point, depending on what the rest of the American League looks like, if we have no real shot at the playoffs, if we have to play like 600 baseball the rest of the season, I don't think that's going to happen. And if that's not happening, then everybody's got to go. It's got to be a clean out.
The blow up.
You got to let them all go, and you got to turn the page, and you got to start a new era. Blue Jays baseball. And hey, Ross Atkins and company, they've had their chance as general managers. We've talked about this a lot throughout the course of the offseason, but it is, they failed basically. They had a plan, they ran their plan. Their plan did not work. It's time to get somebody else in here.
Oh, definitely. It's like how bad does it have to be till they have like come to their senses?
Yeah. And that's the million-dollar question, because we've seen this front office group kind of be, I don't want to say arrogant, but we've seen them kind of be stuck in their ways. And this front office group really does have an ego, and they don't like it when they tarnish their ego. What did Keegan say to us? This Blue Jays front office wants to look smart more than anything else, probably even more than winning, to be honest. So that's why they were so embarrassed about Ohtani. That's why they were kind of embarrassed about Miles Straw. That's why Miles Straw is going to be on this team opening day, by the way. It's because the Blue Jays don't want to admit they paid a guy $11 million. They're like, no, we see value in this guy. And yes, he does good things. I get all that. But like, that's going to be the main reason he's on this roster, not because he's outperformed anybody, not because he's had a good spring. It's because the Blue Jays front office just wants to look smart.
No, exactly. And they can't have $11 million in the minor leagues.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. So we will see. I have one more honorable mention for a bold prediction here, Jesse. And it's been a prediction I've been saying for years, and I wasn't going to include it this year. But I know if I don't, this is the year that it finally happens. So I got to make sure I say it.
Let me guess. Guess. Steals a base?
No, but shout out to Liz McGuire, who has been saying that all offseason. We have that on our bingo card, by the way, that they will steal a base. So you do need to look for that, but I would love that. We had Kirk hitting a triple last year, and that one came true, so that was good. But
and
that
the
is
trop
that...
went down.
And then the trop burned down. Can't be a coincidence, I don't think. But anyways, my prediction is that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. will set the record for the hardest hit baseball in the StatCast era. Now, I think O'Neill Cruz has the record at like 122 and change, and he just set that a few years ago. And Vlad's max exit velocity numbers have actually decreased since his 2021 season. He still hits the ball harder than anyone else in baseball, but it's not up there to that levels anymore. So I think it'll be hard if he randomly just has one where he can do it. But if anybody on this team is going to do it, it's going to be Vlad. And I think it's just give us a nice warm day down in Texas or something on a pitch. He swings hard. That's like 100 miles per hour, and he just squares it up and he goes. So I think that could work.
Oh, definitely not. I can definitely see that with how hard Vlad hits it. Then I'll give just one I just was thinking of, a surprise call bold prediction. Rainer Nunez will be our replacement to Vlad if he gets traded.
Rainer Nunez. You're buying the hype, eh, from the home run he hit in spring training the other day?
That just seeing him play the last few years too. Like, and like, I see a lot of Josh Bell. He reminds me just his body image, his build and all that. But I feel like he has more talent than Josh Bell, so I feel like he could be a first baseman of the franchise if Vladdy goes.
If you're looking at exit velocity monsters down in the farm, Rainer Nunez is a guy who spikes up there. I personally, if we're looking for like a first baseman of the future, I want to go Peyton Williams. His nickname's Jesse. And that's right up our alley. Like, we love that. We love nicknames like that. We need more nicknames in baseball, to be honest. And that's one of the best.
Bring back the Players League nicknames.
Chicken Strip was a popular one, I always remember. Mr. Seeds was good. I'm still mad that Kevin Pillar couldn't be Superman, just because, Disney rights and all that stuff. But just let the guy be it, you know? Anyways, so be it. That's all I had for bold predictions. We're through the ones that the fans have given us. Jesse, did you have any more left that you want to spit out here?
I think. Ernie Clement, All-Star.
And so I thought about that, Jesse, and I was trying to think of all the players on the roster and who could be surprisingly better than we think. And Ernie Clement could be one of them. We know the defense is going to be there. We know he's going to play, right? He puts the ball in play. He gets a good BABIP block. He runs into some things. And I don't know what position he goes in as, because there's a lot of real good shortstops in the American League, but third base maybe. But then, you look at the third baseman around the American League, like Jose Ramirez is probably going to be back up there again. Alex Bregman, maybe. Like, he's got to
never actually moves.
Right. Which there's drama there. So maybe that'll just collapse the whole Red Sox season. I don't know. Baltimore is going to have one of their young guys playing third base who could prove, like, I'm trying to think of the third baseman in the NL West. Am I missing somebody obvious? Or the AL West? Like Seattle? No.
Only one I'm thinking is JC Young, but.
Yeah, and like, I don't. Isaac Paredes hitting into the Crawford boxes probably could do some damage there, but it's like, you might throw a dart at Ernie Clement to get there. The Blue Jays throughout their history have always had like one surprise kind of all-star, the one guy just every, you know, four or five seasons that you don't think is going to get there. And Ernie Clement is a really good choice. If I were to make
especially Espinal can be one.
Yeah, Santiago Espinal. If Steve Delabar is the name, Brett Cecil was an all-star once.
Mike Saunders.
If I'm going to go for a obscure Blue Jay to make their first all-star game this year, I'll probably go Bowden Francis because he might be putting it together and have a good year. And I don't think anyone is really thinking that could happen. So that would be my pick.
Definitely could see that happening. Or I can even see Jeff Hoffman being one. But likely, yep. This is a more question to you. With the whole drama with the Red Sox, with Devers and Bregman and all that, if say the Jays extend Vladdy, maybe do you see the Jays possibly making a move to try to get Devers to come over here and have him be the third baseman? And then you have Devers, like, you have Vladdy's friend there for the long term with him and all that.
So wait, so we keep Vlad and then we ship out prospects? Like we ship out Roden and company to go get Devers?
Yeah, like prospects or like even roster players that are a cluster that we have of that middle infield or even some outfielders.
Sure, it would depend on the price as always. I think the main drawback here is I don't think the Red Sox would want to trade Devers within the division. I think that would be the only main drawback here. Hey, the Jays need it. And Rafael Devers, for as much as I like him and as much as he can hit, I think he's led the American League in errors each of the last three seasons. Or maybe it's just third baseman in errors. It's one of the two. Like, not a good defender, and the Jays really do value run prevention so much. I think that might take them out of the Rafael Devers business, but left-handed guy who can mash you 30 bombs, what team in baseball doesn't want that?
No, that's what I was saying, and I was reading something that they're saying that he could be, he's requesting a trade, so.
Yeah, we'll see. Its vibes are not high in Red Sox camp, especially for a team that on paper looks like they're ready to take a leap forward. And you know, maybe they have like the Bobby Valentine season where their team is good. They just couldn't do it. And that would benefit us, Jesse, if that is the case. So we're rooting for chaos over in Boston. Shout out to any Red Sox fans who are checking in, which thank you. But why? But yeah, that would be great. All right. That's all we got for our bold predictions here. Jesse, anything else you wanted to get at before we wrap up here?
Well, we're 8 days away, and myself and you will be at the Jays game. And if anyone sees us, don't hesitate to come by, have a drink with us, chat some ball. We're always down for that.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun. We are going to post a bunch of stuff from their social media channels as well. We're going to have a lot of content coming between now and then. Our plan here is to do one more episode before the start of opening day. It'll be like our official Blue Jays season preview. I'll probably break it down to like 20 burning questions, and we'll rapid fire and we'll go. We'll get through those 20 questions to get everybody all caught up for what is going to be a very crucial season for the Toronto Blue Jays. 2025 might be more crucial than any year we've had in a long, long time. So we're going to adjust that. And if you are just joining us now and you haven't been with us to see what it's like during the regular season, Jesse and I are still here. We bring on guests too. We like to do two episodes a week. We do series recaps. So we try to squeeze an episode in at the end of each series. Timing is hard. Sometimes it's right as the last pitch is happening. Sometimes it's not till like 7 hours after the game ends, but we usually do our best to get live and give you two episodes a week throughout the course of the regular season, a little shorter in length, but they are fun. You're going to want to check those out as well. Jesse, any last words before we get out?
Nope. Just ready for the spring training to end and get into the meaningful baseball, even though they're playing it right now in Japan with the Dodgers and Cubs, but I've been saying last year, let the kids play, and if it's high, let it fly. If it's low, let it go.
Go Jays, go. For Jesse Tricio, I am Jesse Burrell. We will see you all next week, and we will see you all at the Dome this summer. In the meantime, let's go Blue Jays.
Thanks, guys.